Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. This inspired song, the Holy Spirit thought to include in the word. It is the song of all songs. It's an argument for experimental Christian walking before the face of God, for having communion with God. Communion with the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. And in considering these verses, the church declares Christ's glory and praise that he excels all the sons in the similitude of an apple tree, which excels all the trees of the forest. The beloved Christ is seen by the church as an apple tree among the woods, as one among the sons. The church, she sits under a shadow. She sits with great delight. She eats of his fruit. He is fruitful for her. She tastes the sweetness of his fruit. We consider the apple tree as a tree, and the shadow of Christ as comforting, sustaining, and refreshing in the joy of religion. His fruit is of the same, which we consider now. Jesus Christ is compared to a fruitful apple tree for the comfort, sustenance, and refreshment of his people, where one finds the joy of true religion and the fruits of his work. We considered under the shadow of this cover from the heat of God's wrath that Christ is the great apple tree providing saving comfort. Under his shadow, weary travelers who spy out this apple tree among the trees of the wood may be refreshed, those who see their need of him. There is a particular way that they're refreshed. Christ has a particular way that people must be refreshed, his way. He has a soft and tender heart, full of compassion on weary travelers who take notice of him and offers them the fruit of righteousness held out as free for the taking. And the reason this tree is so amiable is because it is a rare tree among the trees of the forest. The other trees, they offer no fruit to comfort, sustain, and refresh like he. This is because the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily, and he is filled with the treasures and riches of grace, that which poor sinners need and all other trees are deprived of. In the likeness of an apple tree among the trees of the forest, Jesus excels in a variety of precious fruits, and these fruits are his graces, and they bring the joy of religion to light. Whatever it is that those who look on him need by way of grace before God, whatever good things Christ may have that any true believer lacks or can lack before God in being accepted of the Father, it's found in Christ alone. He gives an abundance of graces. Weary travelers of the world who come upon this tree see with a new affection given of the Spirit at the outset the transcendent excellency and peerless beauty of the Lord Jesus. His name is as ointment poured forth, and his garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, as he's spoken of in the song. Weary travelers see his light, his beauty of holiness, and his inward purity looked to be of the utmost necessity that they desire. For such as those who look upon him, he fills all things that they need, or need to be, before God, by way of his everlasting covenant. And those who do not think that they have a need, see no need to look to him. But weary travelers, burdened with sin, know their need once they see the tree. They see in him more of him than themselves, because they investigate and see him in all his riches and glory, even of his divine being, which they willingly partake of as they are filled with his fullness and kind. They're filled with holiness, righteousness, love, and the like, which they can experience. And their souls here rest in him, hear him, adore him, entertain all his acts of love to him, and they find in him the joy of true religion. And such souls that look to him and his graces are blessed indeed, and they are overcome with pleasure and happiness. The song says they are enraptured with great delight. And such pleasures and glories are at his right hand forevermore. They are inexhaustible. In comparison to him, all other trees are as wood, dead wood. The world is dead to them. Now they see the world as empty and nothing because they see him as so rich and so full of grace, so ravishing as the bride describes him, and more than transcendently glorious and excellent, to the highest degree that they can think. And such souls can truly, really, and freely, with all their hearts say, O thou whom my soul loveth. Only you, Lord Jesus, do I adore, love, treasure, cherish, admire, and take full comfort and satisfaction in. Other souls will say, I despise and hate all other comforts, friends and houses and monies and fame and family in comparison with you. You are altogether lovely. He's considered as such as the apple tree. What Christ said is fulfilled. John 4:14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. How is an apple tree even to be drunk? How many fine drinks come from apples? Many. Vast array of them. He has many fruits to feed on. In such waters of life that come from the gracious of this apple tree tends to give peace with God and quietness of soul. It settles things in the soul, gives the soul peace with God if they will but look on such an apple tree with admiration and devotion and desire and true worship. And is this not what the converted men are often after? Peace? Quietness of soul? At once, they were with God at war. Now, they have peace with God through Christ. Christ gives an abundance of gifts to the converted soul. Whether they are things of the soul or of the body, whether common to his people or special of his fullness, all his people have received grace for grace. He bestows on them the gift of salvation, of justification by faith, of sanctification in the Spirit. He makes them new creation and gives them new life, and they gain virtue from him every moment of every day. He sends them the Spirit in their heart, which then imparts to them an abundance of gifts. And all of those gifts are in holiness. Effectually, distributively given in grace, the Holy Spirit is pleased to impart to Christ's people not only that Christ is an advocate for them, and whose cause it is that he pleads always before the face of the Father, but also communicates to his people the infinite largeness of all the gifts of Christ, all of his benefits, the entirety of the spiritual blessing. What could be found in all his benefits to them but the joy of religion? Such things cause even babes to leap for joy. And Christians seek after knowing this largeness day by day, continually, to be filled and full and satisfied all the time. But know that weary travelers will not find the apple tree delightful in any way until they no longer embrace their own merits and look only to the gifts that Christ gives. Nominal Christians, Christians in name only and not in grace, never find Christ in his fullness as delightful. They're always about doing things on their own that seem to give them some religious feeling. But true religion, and that set in true joy, and true joy is only found in the apple tree, not in themselves. They cannot manufacture it and cannot do enough to produce it. No, these are triumphant gifts given by way of the blood of Christ, justification, and the sprinkling of his blood by the Spirit, sanctification. They are all purchased of that precious blood where Christ is set forth as crucified before their minds in spiritual persuasion of the truth of his work in them. So all his gifts given to them are the purchase of Christ crucified, and are the gifts of Christ triumphantly resurrected. He is a lively apple tree to them, filling them with delight for his fruit, the only one among the trees of the forest. And it does not matter if they take from his large apple or small apple. It doesn't matter if they take from him a medium apple. Whatever fruit they pick from this tree is eminently satisfying. And all these graces and gifts of Christ bestowed on his people from his work and merit are in the verse at hand. It's called in the song fruits. Fruits that are sweet to the taste. He is a fruitful tree, and the joy of religion is only found in his fruit. Make note, the joy of true religion is not found in counterfeit fruit, or man's fruit, or anything other than Christ's work and merit. They are not the works of men in any way. Here are the works that men do without Christ. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. Well, here's the fruit of the Spirit and all the benefits of Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5:22-23. So then consider, Christ as the apple tree differs from all earthly apple trees. See the contrast. To know his fruit. An earthly apple tree is endangered to decay. In time it withers and it dies, and it is no longer fruitful. The Lord Jesus, he never decays, nor ceases from yielding his fruit. Fruit unto life eternal, John 4:36, being fruitful in every good work, Colossians 1:10. The aged fruit of an apple tree will rot and reek and stink. The fruit of the Lord Jesus is incorruptible. It will never fade, does not decay, and it endures forever. His mercy endureth forever, Psalm 136:2. The word of the Lord endureth forever, 1 Peter 1:25. Where through Christ Christians receive an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, 1 Peter 1:4. Such a tree is one in whose leaf shall not fade, Ezekiel 47 and verse 12. The fruit of an apple tree is temporary and perishes when it's eaten and used up. Christ's fruit is sweet. It is not temporary and it does not perish. It is everlasting. It purges the soul from all inward filth and sin and makes it healthy, and any grace given is attached to the joy of conquering and reversing the fall. It has lasting effects that will lead into eternity. It has forever effects. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 109:103. Such a fruit is satisfying in this way. And when the spouse eats it, she has an abundance of delight in its sweet taste and receives from it comfort, sustenance, and refreshment. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. An apple tree does not have any fruit on it for almost 8 months of the year. There is always fruit to be found on Christ, as well as a refreshing shadow. He's always in full vigor. His tree is always full and beautiful. His leaves are always a place of comfort. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. There was no time when the tree was not fruitful. And the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations. Revelation 22:20 and verse 2. Apple trees are dormant in winter, and their leaves fall off, and they offer nothing at that time, not even a shadow. But Christ says the apple tree is always green and full, always has a shadow, and never has a winter. For lo, the winter is past, Psalm 2 and verse 11 in Christ. Also our bed is green, Psalm 1:16. Whose leaf shall not fade? Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his month. Ezekiel 47:12 again. In the similitude of an apple tree, Christ surpasses all similarities of him in any earthly kind. So also consider, Jesus Christ, the divine apple tree, bears the most sweet and pleasant fruit. His fruit was sweet to my taste, the church says. Every Christian says this. Everyone who is not a Christian has no idea what that means. The garden tree of paradise for Adam and Eve, the tree of life, was a tree of excellence in life. It may well be that the tree typified Christ to his life. From Revelation 22:2, Christ is called the tree of life, which bears 12 fruits and yields its fruit every month, and the very leaves of the tree are for healing. And in Christ is found all necessary spiritual food for healing the problem of sin and reversing the fallen mankind. In his fruit there is a distinct sweetness that is a precious fruit. In his fruit is healing. And in his fruit his people find the joy of religion ministered to the soul. But only in his fruit. The fruit and even the leaves of this tree of life, the apple tree of Christ, is for the healing of the nations. What a poor, wearied soul finds, and when he does, this tree in the forest, he meets with the divine apple tree. And he partakes of his fruit and he eats it, and he's sweetly comforted, and he is sustained by Christ and refreshed by Christ, and he finds peace and safety where before he had found enmity and war against God. What is peace? Truly, it is the best thing that man can attain when he finds peace with his Maker and Creator. This peace, as Paul says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1, which argues that without faith, there is no peace, there's war. There was a separation and enmity between men and God. And man was wicked and rebellious. Then God took hold of him and changed him and made him new. God makes an enemy of a friend by saving him. The fruit of this is peace with God through Christ. And since the fall, there is a wicked spirit of enmity among men until the gospel brings peace through the apple tree. And though men may speak peace about themselves, such as a peace only found in the apple tree, it's in God's way and no other way. Christ, that is coming, takes man's nature on him, brings God and man together by offering himself as a sacrifice, by making full satisfaction to the justice of God, where God required that man pay for sin. Someone had to pay. And sin, which is the cause of God's anger and displeasure, is taken away in him. And God, being gracious and merciful, his mercy flows upon these converted people, and Christ is peace to him. In fact, they even call him the Prince of Peace. He was sent in covenant and qualified to be this peace between men and God. And if men then come to have a peace with God, they have a spirit of union with Christ, and they delight to sit under his shadow and eat of his fruit. They are assured in their hearts that they have this peace which they did not have before. They know it's new. It's something foreign to them. It's something given to them, which they did not possess, but now they do possess. And they are careful to cultivate it, that it might grow and fill them with everlasting hope, because hope is another fruit. Christ is the cause and foundation of this peace with God, and he is the only apple tree among the trees of the forest that possesses the ability to make peace between God and men. And Christ, in every way fitted for this, being the apple tree of God's benefits and blessings, is one and only. The earth may be covered in forests, but there's only one apple tree. And this sweetness of peace is only in him. He is the tree of life. He is the apple tree, the one who can dispense the joy of religion in men's hearts liberally. Faith, another fruit of this tree, looks to the tree, comes up to it, sets itself under the shadow of the tree, and then examines its fruit. It reaches up its hand and it pulls off that fruit that's freely offered, having a hope and dependence on Christ alone for all the graces and all the gifts that could be obtained by him. Fruit does no good for anyone who does not pick it and eat it. There must be some exercise of their delight being under the tree to examine what is being offered to them, plucking it and eating it with confidence. Christ is the apple tree of life that grows in the woods, trusting in him by faith, by virtue of trust and peace, by virtue of the Spirit's work in their soul and bringing them into an intimate connection with this apple tree. His virtue is given to them as they bite this apple. And it springs up and grows, depends wholly upon him. For they now live by him, and by his fruit they are filled and delighted. And this blessed and sweet fruit of grace and peace of the soul and conscience grows and casts itself continually on him to partake of as much fruit as the soul could possibly take in. They can never sin in gluttony in eating from this tree. In fact, they're encouraged to eat of his fruit continually with vigor and as much as possible. And in this fruit they find the joy of religion and great delight because they have peace with God through the mediator. In fact, it's such a great and miraculous kind of fruit that it will cause them to leap for joy. The poor weary traveler sits under the shadow of such a tree, and in this peace is his rest. He exults in it. Faith sets him there in Christ, under Christ's protection, and the fruit of the tree adds greatly to his rest. And to have faith in this tree and rest under his shadow, to delight in it, to partake of his fruits, are the things of the greatest saving importance to them. In this way, to know where to find such fruit is of the highest importance. It is only found on his branches. It is only in his fruit. It is set forth in his way, and so prescribed for the healing of his people. And where is this? Well, consider, how do poor sinners partake of his fruit? Well, being in Christ, poor sinners must put themselves under the hiding place of his blood and righteousness, who would partake of his fruits. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, Romans 5, 1 and 2. There is no access to the apple tree without seeing the need of the tree, the need of the shadow, to desire his fruit, the white raiment of Christ's righteousness covering that put on by faith, to find joy, a joy that would make one leap in ecstasy. They do that in heaven. Pictures of that are given to us, such as casting one's golden crown upon his feet, at his feet. And all who find this tree are sprinkled with his precious blood and covered in that hiding place of righteousness. And such a covering removes the curse and gives them access to eat of the fruit of the tree. Such sinners cannot have access to or communion with God but through the apple tree. And for in him they have access to be filled with all the fullness of God and delight under his shadow, and to be filled with the sweet taste of his fruit. God provides only this way. It is a narrow way. It is a single tree. There are no other trees, no matter how big the forest or the sons of men may be. Without being in Christ by faith, there is no way to partake of his fruit. And his fruit is found in their defense. To have such that have Christ as a shadow over them, have the defense of his delightful fruit as from the wrath of God and the curse of the law. One can never separate the justification of a sinner and the sanctifying power of the Spirit. One cannot have the crown of King Jesus without the laws of the King, and so many Christians today wish it were the case in that way. The great cry of the nominal Christian hypocrite is, "Give me the crown of Christ without the cross of Christ. Give me salvation, but require nothing of me." If a sinner wants all the benefits of the apple tree and the delight of his shadow and the fullness of his fruit, they have to have Christ alone for their salvation and him in his entirety. They cannot be nominal Christians in name only. They cannot be legalists thinking that they add to his work. They cannot be antinomians taking away the path of holiness. Christ says that sinners are to bring nothing with them to the apple tree, for he is their whole provision in salvation. He will comfort them, he will sustain them, he will refresh them. He will do so in righteousness, and he alone will bring them joy, and they in turn will adore him in service all the days of their life. The degrees of his fruit in their life is faith, trust, and confidence in Christ the apple tree. He will allow the sinner to experience by degrees the Lord's goodness to the soul and the sweetness of his fruit. This is the way the soul sucks the virtue they can from Christ. It is by degrees. Yes, but that is not an excuse not to grow. Degrees argue the difficulty of growth because of the fall and the need to grow, not the excuse that some may not grow or not need to improve their walk. They by faith trust and have confidence in him, that his fruit is indeed sweet and nourishing, that all his precious promises draw forth the sweetness of his produce. These are all the benefits and privileges and graces and comforts and fullness and sustenance of the covenant of grace, making his people happy here in holiness and afterwards in glory. Christ himself is the apple tree, the foundation of all God's holy promises, which are the branches that hold up the fruit that may be plucked from him and eaten. And by faith, the hand of the Christian pulls them down and eats them to their satisfaction, and they grow and rejoice in him. It's no wonder why so many Christians do not rejoice in Christ. It is because they do not experience growth. They may have experienced some moral change, but unless it is a true spiritual change, they'll never grow in him. They may do many things as the Pharisees did, many religious things, and seem like very religious people. But without his sweetness, there is no joy of religion to be found. And such people, the Pharisees, never leaped for joy. So they sit under his shadow and partake of his fruits and rest satisfied in him. And Christ produces these fruits for them and is in him and through him that they're enjoyed. They never decay. The fruit is always hanging there to be plucked. Grace, mercy, pity, peace with God, justification, adoption, sanctification, the restoration of the image of God, the continuation of it, the perfecting of it, are all fruits hanging from his branches. The doctrine of God, the ordinances, the sacraments, the word. What will Christians pull down to eat? They are of a great variety of apples, of fruit, which are all suited to the possible cases of everything that would happen to them, of those that are under Christ's shadow. Are they in need of wisdom? Christ is their wisdom, and they may pull that fruit down and eat it. Are they poor? He is their riches, and they may eat of his fruit without money and without price. Are they afflicted? He is their healing balm. But a bite of his apples will remedy everything in consideration of his providence. Are they yet under many infirmities or temptations? He is their fruit of redemption to set them free from all remnants of remaining sin and imperfection. And those who have never tasted such fruit have no comprehension of what that is. For Christians who eat of this tree, they have tasted that the Lord is good and gracious. Such an experimental attachment to his fruit will make them review his produce and think about it, have high thoughts about it. Like like the internet reviews that one looks at before buying an item, so to speak. The fruit of Christ compels the Christian to bear testimony to the fullness of Christ's sweet fruit. She finds it delightful. She sits and reposes. She has thoughts about it. Jesus always has 5-star reviews from the spouse. It is because such a fruit produces joy, and such is a great consideration in them to their highest degree possible. And those who sit down under Christ the apple tree are so delighted and entertained by his fruit that they cannot but see and experience and taste its sweetness. And such sincere Christians delight in Christ with all his benefits, not only as good, but as unsurpassed and superlatively high for them. All things in comparison cannot measure up, and the least thing to be considered in him. Whatever the least thing you think is in him is the highest thing. Consider when Isaiah saw Christ seated upon the throne. When he saw him there, what did he say filled the temple? His cross, his blood, his fruits, the hem. Who talks about a hem? Who talks about the least important thing of his garment? The hem of Christ, though, is filled with pomegranates and silver bells, and it fills the temple because it talks about his service and his work. There is none upon earth that I desire besides thee, the psalmist said. Psalm 73:25. They are all about desiring him first, and even the least thing in him is the greatest. And those who do not have apprehensions of Christ like this have misapprehensions because they're not familiar, nor do they understand the depth and nature of original sin and what Christ does in bringing peace and joy to them. Christians know why they need a shadow, why they delight, why they find his fruit sweet to their taste. The sin which doth so easily beset us, Hebrews 12:1, is original sin. The remnants of original sin are bitter. They're not sweet. No one knows the sweetness of an apple until they understand its relationship to the truth of that which is bitter. One would not know what sweetness is until they know what bitterness is. I'm not come to call the righteous, Jesus said, but sinners to repentance, Matthew 9:13. And so they delight in his fruit because they know the scorching heat of the wrath of God and the bitterness and wickedness of sin in their soul. They're made aware of it. So the Christian receives Christ plucking down and eating the sweet fruit which hangs on his tree every time they eat of it. And all that which he eats from Christ, all Christ's fruits, every one of them is sweet, sanctifyingly so. Even his frowning providences are sweet. His holy commandments are as well as his gracious promises. They are all equally sweet to him, though not always an inherent joy, but sometimes they must be considered things of joy. Yet they are happy to serve Christ in the joy of religion, and they partake of that which he gives them for their healing. Make a side note. The hypocrite does not know what sweetness tastes like because they have never had the bitterness of sin in their mouth. It may be that they're fearful of God and afraid of him, and they're forced into servitude to him as a slave, but they are like the devil in this. They may pray, but prayer is not sweet. They may listen to sermons and attend ordinances, but they are not sweet. They do not leave worship with joy. They do not find him sweet and lovely because God is not lovely but angry in their mind. They find life hard, and they are fearful. And they pray out of fear, and they go to church out of fear, and they live before him as they perceive him only as an angry judge. They do not delight in him, and they have no real joy in religion in Christ the apple tree. How might we take this idea that Christ is the apple tree and we have delight in him by way of applying this? Well, delighting in the fruit of this apple tree is to be considered personally. When we consider what it means to delight in something, we're looking at some object we think gives us something good. We delight in friends, we delight in family, we delight in hobbies, we delight in our work, we delight in all kinds of things. When we define the word generally speaking, it means to have a strong feeling of happiness or a high degree of pleasure or enjoyment in something. Many times it's defined well down into a form of joy. Happy, blessed, are the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 144:15. They're happy. What would it be like to be wrapped in a blanket of pure delight? I've told you that, asked you that before. People can experience happiness by buying a new pair of socks or buying a new sweater. That type of happiness can be applied to anything and everything. What union does the Christian have with the happiness or unbounded and infinite joy that's connected with the fruit of the apple tree? Joy is the emotion evoked by well-being, the joy of religion. It is possessing what one desires and then delighting in it. Everyone wants to be a little happy, but the Christian knows what it means to be joyful, that your joy may be full. John 16:24. And the babe leaped for joy. What was the description of the spouse having an intimate relationship with her beloved? As the apple tree among the trees of wood, so is my beloved among the sun. She had a particular conduct towards him, and then did certain things with him in light of it in order to receive his benefits, to receive comfort, to receive sustenance, to receive refreshment in him, to have joy. And the quality she received from him was in delight and sweetness of his fruit, to have joy. You know, as we've considered, that there is a great and infinite difference between Jesus the apple tree and all the other trees of the forest. He's a fruitful tree. They're barren. Barren trees can offer you nothing in comparison to the apple tree. He casts a great shadow that covers you whole in all of your parts. You can't be disappointed in his shadow that covers you, nor the fruit that you can pluck from him. Never disappointed. His shadow and fruit are sufficient and abundant and durable and unfailing. And he is set in fullness and glory as the God-man by the Father and God's divine fellow in the covenant. And there's no other person or being that can help you except this apple tree. What a waste of time it would be to wander around the planet in the trees of the forest when there's an apple tree that can be all satisfying right in front of you. You merely need to pluck and sit and delight. And you see the benefits in this apple tree, the benefits of his shadow, which we've considered as delightful, and the benefits of his fruit, which we have seen as sweet to one's taste. The excellency of the comfort to be enjoyed in Christ is very sweet, sweeter than any other worldly comfort, more divinely sweet and delightful than all the joys of the world. He's inexhaustible in this, and it can never run out. Like the widow's oil, it continues to pour out. Fruit on the tree that does not diminish, no matter how much of it is eaten, no matter how much many Christians pluck of it. There are many Christians. The tree just keeps producing fruit. There's always as much as before. Take your fill of him, eat in the rapturous love of all of his delicacies, and find joy in all of his ordinances. And his ordinances are all those prescriptions which he tells you as the great king that you are to accomplish, and all the duties that he requires of you. They are delightful to the Christian. This is why the comfort, sustenance, and refreshment of Christ is a sweetness that alone is satisfying. What can you expect when you reach up and pluck his fruit? His promise is that it will in fact satisfy your soul. He is a sweet tree with sweet fruit, and you will find there the joy of religion. But you might say, I read, I study, I pray. I don't find Christ to be sweet. Well, then you may be reading and studying and praying in vain, and maybe amiss. James says that you can ask amiss. You could read amiss without the work of the Spirit moving you to see his sweetness. You should seek that first. Do you pray for God to help you when you read or when you hear, when you meditate on the scripture? Did you not say that you could do nothing without me? Why would you try to do anything without him? He will affect you by his Spirit and spiritually persuade you of all of his truth if you will but ask him. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. Yet you must consider, if you are not affected by this apple tree, you may not actually be under the shadow or eating of his fruit. For coming and enjoying the benefits to be had in Christ is only found in coming to him and sitting under his shadow, to sit there and take and eat his fruit as he is. Many people do not like to take God as he is. That is the very first commandment, to have no other God and to take God as he has revealed himself. He could have revealed himself only as a consuming fire. He could have revealed himself only as an angry judge, but he revealed himself in his Son as an apple tree in which you can come and sit under his shadow and eat pleasantly of his fruit, and that then with great delight. It may be that you're not eating rightly, maybe in some hypocritical way, not settled with regard to Christ the Savior. Christians entirely rest in Christ, not in anything they do. Maybe you're resting in your works, which will yield nothing sweet, but only that which is dissatisfying and always bitter. Religion without joy, without Christ, is bitter. The Pharisees were bitter. It is not sweet. It is hard. Actually, it is impossible because it is hypocritical. You must find yourself under Christ's shadow for shelter and rest in him alone. And you have to renounce all other refuges. Take yourself to the fount of Christ's blood alone and nothing else to bring. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, Hebrews 12:24. That is the place you go. And this is coming under Christ's shadow and eating of the fruit of the apple tree. It is there under the blood of sprinkling, under sanctifying covenant works, that one finds the joy of God's religion that will make you leap for joy. The Lord has spread out his shadow to you in this place where you can find comfort, sustenance, and refreshment in him. Where are there other places to find him in such holy and wonderful ways? You find his shadow and fruit and his protection. You find his shadow and fruit in his ordinances, like the preaching of the word and prayer and reading and such. You find his shadow and fruit in his doctrines. You find his shadow and fruit in his salvation. He is a reviving and refreshing shadow to you, with fruits that hang low for the plucking, that are sweet. Take heed to the place that you sit. Take heed to the things that you pluck. There are some places that seem to be an orchard, but they are not the apple tree of Christ among the trees of the forest. There are some places that seem to have fruit, but upon examination it is not Christ's fruit. Christiana's son Matthew, in Pilgrim's Progress Part 2, saw low-hanging fruit from a tree that bent its branches over the wall onto the road of salvation. Looked nice. Right there for the plucking. And he plucked it, and he ate it. But he was made bitter in his stomach, and it made him sick. And they had to go to Dr. Skill to revive him. Sadly, he forever had an infirmity as a result of eating that fruit that seemed good to the eye for eating, but was really the doctrine of devils. We must sit under Christ's tree, and that alone, and eat of his fruit. Because there is no place of protection and comfort other than him, as he's revealed himself as the apple tree. There's access for you to come under it. It stands in complete contrast from the other barren trees of the forest, but God liberally gives people access to it. There is virtue to be found in all of his fruitfulness. It's not a private orchard. It stands in full view of all to partake of him. He that cometh unto me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. But such access is for a time. And only if you find the apple tree. It is not lost. It's not hard to find. I found Jesus, people say. Was Jesus lost? No, he was standing there in full view. But for those who do not like the taste of his fruit, they'll pass by, they'll disregard it. They will not always have access to him and his fruit. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. There is no fruit after the judgment. When once a man dies, there is no more tree, and no more fruit, and no more joy, unless one has already found Christ in this life. And there are no second chances to sit under his shadow or eat of his fruit, or to find the joy of true religion that God has laid out for those seeking souls. There is no shadow for the devil and his angels. There is no sweet fruit for the wicked. It is Christ alone that brings fullness of joy and causes one to leap in the joy of true religion. So there, you've seen the apple tree that's set before you, that Jesus Christ is compared to a fruitful apple tree for the comfort, sustenance, and refreshment of his people, that they might find fullness and joy and have hearts that leap for him and by him. And what is the opposite to this? It is not to sit under his branches. It is not to eat of his fruit. It is not to find rest and repose under his tree. And to not do so, is to give place to the devil, which we will consider as our final sermon next week. Let's pray together.